Hearing is subdivision 2018-3, Fox Haven 2, Earl J. and Eula May Savage trustees. Mr. Whitehouse, do you want to fetch Mr. Robinson?
So this is a cluster subdivision, ESDDOZ subdivision. The cluster ESDDOZ, which is the Environmentally Sensitive Developing District Overlay Zone subdivision, is to divide 49.57 acres plus or minus into 99 single-family lots to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County. The property is lying on the southwest side of Johnson Road, approximately 680 feet north of south of Zion Church Road. The tax parcel is District 533, Map 11, Parcel 48. The zoning district is GR, General Residential District. Staff would note for the record that there's a subdivision plan and exhibit booklet. The application did go through PLUS. It also went through our TAC process. We did receive comments from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, the Sussex Conservation District, the Department of Agriculture, the DENREC Division of Waste and Hazardous Substances, the DENREC Division of Groundwater Discharge, Division of Air Quality, and we also received comments from the Fire Marshal, and we received comments from the Delaware Electric Co-op, the Office of Drinking Water, and as this is an extension to an existing subdivision, they did have the minimum requirement of, they actually have more than the 51% neighbor saying they are okay with the extension of the subdivision.
Mr. Barr, hope you're feeling better tonight.
I'm in the pink, Mr. Ross, thank you. Good evening. For the record, Gene Byard. I represent the applicant, Savage Farm LLC, and the landowner, Mr. and Mrs. Earl Savage. With me tonight to present the application are Steve Marsh from George Miles and Buer, the project engineer, Doug Brown, the president of the Fox Haven Homeowners Association, and Jay Murray, a principal of Savage Farm LLC. This project, now known as Fox Haven 2, is designed to be an extension of the existing and very successful Fox Haven development with access through Fox Haven from Zion Church Road and separate access from Johnson Road. The project will have the same restrictive covenants as Fox Haven, and there will be one unified homeowners association to manage both Fox Haven and Fox Haven 2. Several months ago, Fox Haven 2 was presented to the Fox Haven Homeowners Association, and as Doug Brown will tell you in a little while, by more than a majority vote required by the restrictive covenants, the homeowners in Fox Haven approved the combination of Fox Haven 2 with Fox Haven, with access from Zion Church Road through Fox Haven. Billy Scott, the attorney for the association, is present tonight to answer any questions the commission may have about Fox Haven, its restrictive covenants, and the homeowners' vote to approve the combination of the two projects. Ed LeMay is also here tonight to answer any questions the commission may have about wetlands on the property. With that, I'd ask Steve Marsh to come forward and identify himself.
My name is Steve Marsh. I'm an engineer with GMB.
Steve, am I correct that you prepared an application to PLUS, received PLUS comments, and responded to those comments?
Yes, sir.
Is there anything noteworthy in the PLUS comments for your response?
No, sir.
You prepared and filed with the commission an environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone report. Is there anything noteworthy in that report?
No, sir.
You received comments from the technical advisory committee. Is there anything noteworthy in those comments?
No, sir.
The big deal. Can you walk the commission through your report demonstrating the project's compliance with 99-9C?
Sure. There is a, thank you, sir. There's a subdivision report in the booklet, as well as obviously the PLUS comments, the TAC comments, staff review comments and responses. So if I go step by step through 99-9C, regarding the proposed subdivision and integration of the proposed subdivision in the existing terrain and surrounding landscape, the proposed subdivision will be an extension of the existing Fox Haven 1 subdivision. There is a minimum 30-foot buffer all the way around the site, as well as a 50-foot environmental buffer along drainage ways. Much of this buffer is already wooded and will remain wooded. Regarding minimal use of floodplains and wetlands, there are no wetland impacts on site. There is no regulated floodway, and there will be minimal fill in the floodplain. There will be a tax ditch rerouting as part of this project, which will require a core permit. But during the rerouting process and during that design, we're going to stabilize the banks of what is currently kind of an existing unstable bank in the tax ditch system. So that'll reduce sediment load downstream. And with that, we will also be proposing a wetland shelf in the tax ditch, which will provide water quality benefit and will actually also provide floodplain benefit. So it will be enhanced floodplain in the ditch section. Regarding preservation of open space, 46% of the approximately 49 acres on site will remain open space, or almost 23 acres. Regarding minimization of tree impacts and soil removal, there are 21 wooded acres on site, over 12 acres of which will remain. The site balances for cut fill. Regarding screening of objectionable features, there really are no objectionable features, but we have maintained the 30-foot buffer all the way around the project site and the 50-foot buffer along drainage ways. Regarding provision for water supply, water service is being provided by Artesian Water Company. An ability to serve letter is included in your binder, and water plans are under review. Regarding provisions for sewage disposal, sewer service being provided by Sussex County, and a sewer concept plan has previously been reviewed and approved. Regarding prevention of surface and groundwater pollution and minimizing impact on drainage and area waterways, stormwater management design will meet the requirements of DENREC and the Sussex Conservation District. We will attempt to infiltrate as much runoff as we can. As I mentioned, one of the big features is this tax ditch relocation, which will stabilize some failing tax ditch banks, reducing sediment load downstream. With the aquatic shelf, we'll actually get some water quality benefit and some flood reduction benefit that we will not count for in our calculations. So that will be over and above what Conservation District will approve. There's not a really good methodology that they have to take water quality benefit on channel restoration projects. So that is just going to be an added benefit on top of what's achieved through the regulations. Regarding provision for vehicular movement and impact on area roadways, on the original design...
Stop for a minute, yeah. Steve. Did DLDOT require a TIS or a TOA?
So DLDOT did not require a TIS or a TOA. They're going to require contribution into a revolving signal fund. The original design called for connection to the existing Fox Haven community here. The main entrance of the only entrance to the existing community is here on Route 20. And working with the HOA and with DLDOT and through the review process, the development team decided to add another entrance here to Johnson Road. So we're keeping the interconnection to Fox Haven 1 and providing an extra entrance onto Johnson Road. And that is all. We had our pre-application meeting with DLDOT. DLDOT supports that, and we're working through the design now.
Please proceed.
Regarding preservation and conservation of farmland and compatibility of other land uses. So there really is no preservation of farmland here. However, the project is in a developing area, is zoned GR, and is consistent with the comprehensive plan. Regarding impact to schools, we anticipate that it will be a similar demographic to Fox Haven 1. There are very few small children in that community, but we will work to see with the school district to see if we need a bus stop, and we'll incorporate that into the land plan.
Thanks. Can you put the site plan on the screen?
Yeah, I'll do that one.
Okay, if you could walk the commission briefly through the site plan. Start with the number of lots that are planned for the project.
So we are, the final number we've arrived at is 95 units on about 49 acres. It comes out to 1.93 units per acre, so we're less than two, but it's zoned for 4 units per acre.
And how does that density compare to Fox Haven?
So Fox Haven 1 is actually more dense. It has 2.2 units per acre, so we're under that density. Fox Haven 1 has 30% open space. We have 46% open space proposed for Fox Haven 2. Part of that, we were able to achieve higher open space because we used the cluster option of the ESDDOZ.
What is the minimum lot size for these cluster lots?
So by code, the minimum lot size has to be 7,500 square feet with a 75-foot width. We're proposing the 75-foot width minimum, and our minimum lot size is right now about 8,500 square feet.
Am I correct? There are no wetlands in any lot?
There are no wetlands in any lot. That is correct.
Can you briefly describe the amenities that are proposed and where they are on the site plan?
So the main amenity is a pool and clubhouse complex here. We're anticipating about an 1,800 square foot clubhouse with a meeting room, a workout facility, bathrooms and changing rooms that can be accessed from the inside and the pool deck. Fairly sizable pool deck with a pool, and then parallel parking on the street to provide some street parking at the pool complex, and then a boat storage facility tucked in back here. Originally, we had that storage facility up here. We decided to move it internal to the development, and this is all protected area back here at Fox Haven 1, so there will be no one kind of backing up to that.
Is it correct, Steve, that it was moved a second time?
It was. So we, doing some land plan revisions kind of at the last minute, we had proposed to put the boat storage here, and working with the homeowners, Fox Haven 1, we decided that was not a good idea. So we moved it down here so that, you know, anyone who's buying adjacent to that or is going to see it knows kind of what they're getting when they buy those lots. So there's no impact to the existing Fox Haven 1 homeowners in terms of their view shed.
And all of these amenities are available to homeowners in Fox Haven 1.
That's correct.
As a matter of fact, Doug and I spoke with a couple who appeared tonight because they were concerned about the location of the boat storage facility. And they're the people whose lot is, you can point out where it was.
I think they were right here.
Yeah, location number two for the boat storage, and the boat storage facility was moved at their request. They left an hour ago with a copy of the site plan and seemed pleased. I forgot one of the questions. Is it correct that the amenity plan is to be constructed upon the issuance of the 30th certificate of occupancy and completed upon the 60th certificate of occupancy?
That's right. So the way we have the phasing, it will be started as part of phase one at the 30th C of O, and then completed as we move into phase two at the
amenities.
Unless you have questions of Doug's, I'll move on to the next witness and you can catch up later. I'm sorry, there's a dialogue I'm missing.
That's all right. No, I'm sorry.
If you don't have questions, I will jump down and you can.
No, go ahead. Finish your presentation.
Steve in a minute. Doug, if you could come forward and introduce yourself.
Good evening. Doug Brown, 6 Wigan Court, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. I'm the president of the Fox Haven 1 Homeowners Association.
Can you briefly describe the position of the association and why it supports this application?
The association does support the application, mainly from several benefits that the adjacent community, Fox Haven 2, would offer. One, as Steve explained, there'd be the interconnectivity with the community. So rather than having, say, two separate subdivisions, it would be one community. The second reason, just from economies of scale for the HOA, we'll have a wider kind of revenue base, but still be able to maintain the current amenities we have, plus the access to the new amenity, which will be, quite frankly, a bit nicer than the existing pool in Fox Haven 1. Next, there will be the same builder who built most of Fox Haven 1 will be building all of Fox Haven 2, so we'll have kind of uniform streetscapes, construction quality, and just kind of general feel that the two communities will be one. And then lastly, as Steve also mentioned, the density, it actually is less than the current community, so we're happy with that.
Thanks, Doug. That's the application. I think it's clear that it is consistent with the character and trend of the development in this area of Baltimore 100. It is consistent with the goals of the comprehensive plan and specifically with the goals of the GR zoning classification, which is intended to provide moderately priced housing. The project also promotes interconnectivity, something the commission continues to encourage. We believe that the combination of Fox Haven and Fox Haven 2 is sensible land use planning by creating one unified subdivision, as Doug just said, as opposed to two separate and distinct and disconnected subdivisions. Again, that's just good planning. We'll be glad to field any questions you have.
We'll start with Mr. Hudson.
I have no questions, thank you.
Mr. Wheat?
No questions.
Mr. Hudson?
No questions.
Ms. Hoey Stevenson?
Come on, girl. Yeah, they got your big one already.
Yeah, they got my big one. They already said they got the school bus stop. They got the interconnectivity. My only question is if they don't think there's going to be kids there, why they don't have a pickleball court?
Yeah, bocce court.
Didn't see that
like
one
that.
Coming.
Mr. Blair, I have no questions either. If you take a seat, we'll see if anyone has any interest in your application. Oh, any staff? Do you have any?
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
I'm sorry, guys. I misforgot you all. Is there anyone here like to speak in favor of subdivision 2018-3, Fox Haven 2, in favor? Anyone like to speak in opposition to this application? Yes, sir.
I'm not going to say I'm actually in opposition of it.
We need your name and
address. Come tell us who you are.
We need your name and address.
My name is Darren Schartzer. I live at 37016 Johnson Road. So it seems like I'm the lucky fellow who bought this piece of property that they probably should have bought anyways. So I bought that property a little over a year ago, and now I'm being surrounded.
Which property are you talking about, sir?
Right there.
That little one.
Yeah, there is no buffer on those lots at all that backs up to my property line.
That was the original Fox Haven 1 you're talking about?
Correct.
And that probably predated the buffer requirements, and it wasn't ag use, so there wouldn't have, it wouldn't have triggered a buffer.
Well,
there.
Would you, so you like to buy my lot? Somebody's going to have to buy it. I mean,
you will have a buffer on the side that adjoins the Fox 2 or Fox Haven 2 because that's changed in code, so a buffer is required there.
Can I ask why is there a 30-foot buffer on the lot?
There?
Just to the left of the hand,
yeah.
there was a 30-foot buffer to the farm that was there, but there was no buffer at all to the lot that I happen to buy. Now, you can call it, I mean, this other lot is extremely a weird shape, and I guess it's just too bad on my part. So how much buffer is there going to be on that side right there?
If any at all.
Well,
on the new part, there will be at least 30 feet, I think is what they testified to, which actually kind of exceeds the code requirements. But the older part, like I said, that was approved before there was a buffer requirement around the entire perimeter of a subdivision. So there would have been.
That's too bad, because you see that lot right there? Who would want to buy a triangular lot? Now, that house, if they ever build one, so they'll have to buy it. They're going to have to find somebody to buy that one, but that house is probably going to be 10 foot off of my property line back there, too.
But that exists.
That's
not what we're here about tonight.
That was a mistake on the planning court. That's my fault. I didn't pay that much money for the property, but, I guess you've made changes to your to the way you do planning now, but I think you guys kind of forced too many lots in over there.
Well, the public hearing is about Fox Haven 2, and
right.
We can't change what's in Fox Haven 1. Do you have any comments on Fox Haven 2?
How much more traffic is that going to bring with another entrance coming out on Johnson Road?
Well, apparently DelDOT doesn't think it's significant enough to generate a TIS. So.
Well, again, hey, you guys want to buy my property?
Sir, you... You can discuss a negotiation afterwards.
Well, you guys can put that on record that they can call me anytime they like, and they can buy it.
Yeah. Do you have an 800 number you want to blast out to the World Wide Web? Or?
Somebody's going to buy it probably next year. Yeah. But
there are a few people in the room that would probably be glad to help me sell that lot.
Yeah. You've kind of got a radio voice. You could just go ahead and do an ad right here. You know? Yeah.
Right, we're being broadcast.
Yeah, we're being all over the world.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. I just wanted to, you know, actually see what was going on. It's not a great deal of money we're talking about here, but hopefully I'll make a profit next year. So
who knows? Yeah. Okay, thank you, sir. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm Patricia Hoffman. I live at 33540 Silver Fox Drive in Fox Haven 1. So my property will, can I point to it?
Sure.
I'm right here. Uh-huh. I'm not in opposition. I actually just have a question about will the tree line that will separate Fox Haven 1, Fox Haven 2, that is behind my home, be saved? Or
we'll ask that question for you,
we'll
ma'am.
Find that out. Yeah. And what we typically do, if they say it's going to be saved, is well, there's a requirement that they provide, that any subdivider provide a landscaping plan for the buffer areas. And the commission does encourage, you know, rather than tearing what's there out and planting new, which often doesn't make sense, you know, the commission does encourage utilizing existing vegetation and showing that on the final site plan just to make sure it's known and preserved. So,
okay, thank you.
I'm sure Mr. Wilson will ask that question.
That was it. Yeah,
okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Marsh, are you going to preserve the tree line?
Yes, sir. So, thank you. So our goal is anywhere where the buffer is going in and there's an existing tree line in place, our goal is to maintain that.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition to this application? Seeing no one rise, anyone on the commission have any questions? Staff?
No.
Ms. Corlo?
No.
Mr. Roberts?
No.
We're going to close the public hearing. You're welcome to stay with us this evening to see if we make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing is